Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to another exciting adventure right here on Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, you got any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, New Zealand, a country, one of the few countries known for having stamped out community spread of COVID, announced its first lockdown in 6 months after three new unexplained cases of COVID appeared. The country will go into a three-day lockdown and then go back to its normal business. A new study from Queen Mary University in London describes how a newly created neural network can use Wi-Fi to read the emotional states of individuals by measuring how and when wireless signals bounce back off their bodies. Asan Noor Khan, first author of the study, said, quote, "We're now looking how to investigate how we could use low-cost existing systems, such as Wi-Fi routers, to detect emotions of a large number of people gathered, for instance, in an office or work environment. This is, of course, incredibly terrifying." Archaeological work near Stonehenge has led to the discovery of an ancient Neolithic gravesite near the stone monument, containing a 4,500-year-old baby, some pottery, and a number of other grave goods. This work was done in advance of a controversial tunnel project near Stonehenge to ease traffic congestion on the way to the famous monument. And one more thing, we reported on the Chicago Mothman sightings in 2017 and 2018. While these sightings have not really stopped, although they've slowed in 2020, with new sightings in Missouri, Illinois, and Wisconsin as well. They've just stopped making the news. The sightings, along with relevant links, are still available on singular40. Back to you, Chauncey.
You know, it's interesting how differently New Zealand has dealt with this virus than we have. Now, I understand that they have, you know, to be fair, they do have a very different logistical situation than we have. You know,
they're a tiny
island.
Yeah.
You know, two small islands in the middle of nowhere. Only one of them is really where the population is. The smaller of the two islands is the one where the population is. And, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of people go there for New Zealand, I'm sure. But in the grand scheme of things, not a huge amount of people going in and out. But it is interesting. Three new cases, and they're going to lock down for 3 days so that they can just go right back to
to
life, you know. So that's a...
Yeah, they've had no lockdowns in 6 months. And, I mean, like you said, it's a different situation. Anyone who comes into the country quarantined for 2 weeks, you know, it doesn't matter if they're tested, vaccinated, whatever. You quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they have incredibly robust contact tracing. So, like, if there are three cases and they don't know how it happened, like, yeah, they lock down the country. So, yeah, definitely a very different situation because, like, we can't catch everyone who wants to enter the country. Like,
right.
We do not have that ability. And obviously we're screening at airports and stuff, and it could be a lot more rigorous than it is, but there's only so much we can do, and also we didn't really have any kind of testing for, like, the critical periods where it actually would have made any kind of difference,
right.
So, like, we couldn't go the contact tracing route because we just didn't have our logistics together, but it is worth noting there are countries that are not tiny islands that have also figured this out. Koreas, Vietnam, a lot of just South Asia pretty much has figured this out. So it's not just places like New Zealand, but they all pretty much took the model of anyone in has to quarantine, and we're testing the entire populace just all the time.
And enforcing it, I'm guessing.
I mean, a massive difference in enforcement in these countries. Right. And I think, honestly, a lot of the difference is probably not the government response so much as the people take it seriously.
Yeah, well, you know, I recently had an experience with this. I watched the Framing Britney documentary from Hulu with my wife about Britney Spears, and I posted something about it on Facebook, and I realized that this is a confusing world. While I'm sitting here thinking QAnon's a joke, I also think we might need to free Britney. I'm just like, okay, you know, how can anybody navigate this?
I mean, those are two pretty different things, right?
They are, but I mean, it's just these weird hearsay conspiracies that I'm learning from TV and YouTube, just like everything else. I mean, that's where I'm learning these things.
That's true.
You know, and so I don't know. But yeah, I think our big problem with COVID and Trump fans out there, I'm sorry, you're not going to like this, was just a major lack of leadership.
I agree.
And a lot of people don't understand what leadership means. Leadership means delivering. Leadership doesn't mean telling people what to do. It's not a dictator situation. Leadership is leading by example while telling people what to do, you know, and so being respectful. That's why I always feel that I need to at least believe that my president is smarter than I am. You know, I need to believe that that's a possibility, you know, like if I have a counselor, I need to believe that my counselor is smarter than I am, you know, at least in the topics that we're dealing with. And, you know, leadership, you know, a lot of people have sort of mocked past politicians for sort of living up and holding these image ideas. But of course, it's obviously important, you know, to lead by example. That's just how it's done, or that's how it's done effectively. It's either example or fear are really the only two ways. So there's a lot of bosses that lead by fear, and frankly, they have high turnover rates. So,
yeah. To be honest, I don't think a more competent president could have done like what New Zealand did in the United States.
No. I don't.
Massive feat.
I don't.
But I think what could have been different is, you know, we could have had contact tracing earlier if the federal government had like done any work, because they basically were just like, "Hey, let the states handle it." And he definitely could have like told his supporters that, yes, you do need to wear a mask. And I think that probably would have saved thousands and thousands of lives right there. Like, if they hadn't just made it an issue where half the country thinks the virus isn't real and therefore are spreading the virus.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm going to put a little bit of the blame on the medical community for being too scientific and not PR-y enough. First of all, I think the use of the word of novel was poorly used. I don't think most people know what the word novel means in that context. And so I don't think people really understood. They're just, well, now they're coming out and they don't know anything about it. Yeah, that's what novel means. They don't know anything about it. It just happened. So they're learning about it. But I don't think that was made clear. So people are just all, it's constantly changing. It should have been made clear from the get-go. And every time it was spoken about, this information will change constantly, 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 and sort of beat that into people's heads like, we are figuring this out. And we're doing our best to mitigate this, but we just don't know. And while they did say that once or twice here and there, blah, 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 you know, I feel that that should have been the spearhead of the message.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I have mixed feelings about this, because I guess I don't really blame the scientists for that, because that is not their job. And they spend their
I don't blame anybody. I blame
individuals,
myself included, for not being as smart as we probably should be. But.
Right. Well, who I do blame for that particular problem is like science writers, you know, the media, I think. I mean, we have a media ecosystem that is built around clickbait. So it's a little not surprising that there was just a flood of articles. Do this to not get COVID. Do this to not get COVID. This expert says it could be this bad. This expert could be this bad. Oh, and by the way, the first person isn't even an expert. He's like a freaking Silicon Valley guy who made a computer model. Like,
right. And of course, the main messaging does go back to the White House, you know, to bring it back.
Right, that's where he could have led.
Right, to bring it back to watching TV, my wife and I, we also watched that four-part documentary on Netflix about the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez. And one of the cops was talking in a real interesting way, because there was so much misinformation getting out that they finally had to take the spearhead. Instead of just telling people and allowing them to piece together the story, they stopped talking to everybody and every day put together one videotape that had all of their information that they then passed out to all the networks in order to get a seamless message out to the people of Los Angeles. And something like that in these sorts of situations where we're all kind of on board, where we're not, you and I aren't sitting here trying to come up with answers to a pandemic because, I mean, obviously, we're not going to come up.
We're idiots. Right? We don't know.
Right. All right. Yeah. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back. We got more for you.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading Studios of Free Fire.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. This month's review is Kintsugi by Alec and Bradley. Kintsugi is a pleasurable, medium-bodied experience. Notes of cinnamon, earth, and wood are prominent throughout, with very subtle hints of amaretto and almonds. Come down to the shop for your Kintsugi today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, or visit us on Instagram at Tobacco and Brew.
Pop some popcorn, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready to celebrate local filmmakers with the 13th Annual Sundial Film Festival. Happening March 6th, the Sundial Film Festival is presented by the Active 2030 Club of Reading. The event has gone virtual this year, so you can enjoy the array of films from the comfort of your own home. It's free to view the Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th at 6 p.m. All you have to do is go to sundialfilmfestival.com and RSVP. The 13th Annual Sundial Film Festival happening March 6th online at sundialfilmfestival.com.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You get your vaccine. It's easy to get in line. Go to ShastaReady.org, click vaccinations, and select the blue oval labeled Tell Me When It's My Turn. Complete the short survey, and public health will contact you when they have an appointment available. It may take several weeks before you're contacted, since vaccine supplies are still very limited. Learn more about COVID-19 at ShastaReady.org.
Wasteland comes to you from the Reading Studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Audrey Norton. Audrey, you've been on the show before. We talked about religion last time. This time we're going to be digging more into psychic healing and mediumship. You know, I'm sure, you know, for transparency's sake, you were on the show before about Satanism. I'm sure your religion is going to pull into this on some level, but you know, it's actually been quite a while since we've had anybody who did psychic readings on here, and, you know, so, you know, it is interesting. You would think that would be something that we had more often, but surprisingly, we haven't. You know, how does this start for you. I seem to remember from our last interview, you felt that this was something that you've kind of always had, that you were born with, that was even maybe genetic, if I'm remembering correctly, that something that one of your parents had as well. But tell me how this started for you, this psychic mediumship.
So basically for me, I obviously didn't know or realize what was happening to me as a kid. I only figure out later, like, oh, they call this psychic medium, right? But basically as a kid, I always knew, used to almost know when things would happen before they would happen. And I just thought like that was normal. You know, everyone could do that. And I would sort of see things in my dreams and then it would happen in the physical world. And I also thought that was normal. And then when I looked at people, I would sort of see like colors around people, or I'd get an instinct sort of knowingness of things about this person or like what they're feeling in that sense. And then, because I thought that was normal. And then later on, well, not later on, actually, I was about, how old was I? Like, my brother was just born, so I was about 4 and a half. I started to sort of see spirit in the home. And it wasn't a scary thing for me. It was just sort of like, this is interesting because, like, who are you and what are you doing in my house? And it, you know, it was like, but I wasn't. That's the weird part about it. Like, I wasn't scared with it. And anyway, so I would start seeing things like that. And in the evenings, I would just sort of feel a spirit come sit on my bed, which is the really weird part because you could see an imprint on my bed as to where someone actually sat. And I was, like, convinced at one stage it was my mom. And then I just turned around, like, there was no one there. And, like, she was sleeping and everything. So, like, that was the first time I actually got scared. Before that, I wasn't actually scared. And then, so at this stage, it was probably about 9 or 10 years old. Kind of grew up, went into teenage phase, always kind of had this weird knowingness, didn't quite click what it was. And then when I was about 16, I started to be drawn a lot to astrology and numerology and dream interpretations and those type of things, which I found very interesting. And it wasn't actually until I was in my early 20s that I clicked, like, hang on, I don't think other people can see this. Like, I always wondered, like, you know, when someone says this is the color green, like, is my version of green and their version of green the same green? You know, I think a lot of us wonder about things. But, and that's why I sort of just accepted, you know, this is something everyone could do. And I was about, I think about 22, 23 or something. And a friend of mine said to me, like, you do realize when you speak of these things, like, I don't know what you're talking about. And when you're saying, like, oh, look, that person has this color today and this person is going through that, like, how do you know this? And I was like, I don't know, I just do. And he kind of freaked out completely. He was also very agnostic, and he sort of, like, this is pseudoscience, and, like, no, this is weird, like, you know. And I was kind of like, okay, but I just thought everyone could do this. And so at this stage, I've never even gone to see a psychic. I didn't really know what psychic was in that term, although people did tell my mom while I was growing up, like, no, you know, your daughter is psychic. But I don't know what that meant. Like, what does that mean, you know? It's like, you're psycho. That's kind of what I thought. Then eventually I was like, okay, you know, maybe I should then see a psychic and see. And then, like, as I walked into this woman's sort of office, I guess, who was working from our house, then she was like, do you know you're psychic? And I was like, yeah, people have said this, but I don't know what this is. And she was like, okay, so, like, it's fine, you are, but you obviously don't click that you are. So I was like, no. So she's like, okay, the next person that walks in here, you're just actually going to tell them what you see. And that was the weirdest experience, because the next thing I just start seeing, like I normally do, seeing and knowing this kind of things about this person, and I start telling them this. And this guy, this is a man as well, and he just, like, sort of broke down and cried. And I was like, oh, my God, did I offend you? Did I freak you out? Like, what's going on? And he was like, no, that's actually just why I'm here to see the psychic, is because of what you've just said. And I was just like, I was so freaked out at this stage. I thought, like, a mental institution with me. Like, I need to get locked up somewhere. Like, this is weird. I'm freaking out. And then after that, this lady sort of just explained to me, like, how to calm myself down a little bit. In that sense. And she's like, no, it's okay. It's normal. No one's going to lock you up, but you need to start figuring out how you are going to use this in that sense. And then there wasn't actually any training or anything to think about it. I learned eventually later on how to use tarot cards just because I thought that was quite interesting and something I was interested in from a young age. I actually had a couple of tarot cards when I was about 11 that I got with an astrology kit, but I had no idea what that was. So it was just sort of like whatever. But yeah, that was sort of like the journey. My mother is actually very psychic, although she'll deny it completely. Like she still thinks it's a bit weird. She respects what I do, but she sees some interesting things about people as well, very accurate. And then before that, there was a speculation that my grandmother also had a bit of it. But I also say, like, you don't need to have it in your family to be born as one of these people that sort of can read energy in that sense.
You know, can it be taught? Like, to somebody who's never, like, I've never had anything like that. And granted, I don't know if closed-mindedness, but my lack of, my skepticism, whatever word you want to use, I'm sure that would get in the way, but could one be taught?
See, this is a debate that is always continuously going on. Like, can you teach someone to be psychic? So my personal opinion is that you would have to have some form of connection to seeing energy that you would have to be born with. And then you could probably develop it, and you can help that person, like, develop it through, I guess, exercises and things like that. I was born just being very open and very in touch. But I know I have seen people who, you know, they sort of had an experience when they were a kid and then didn't have experiences again. And then as an adult, they're like, I want to open this up again. And then through exercises, they sort of, you know, get in touch with it again. But going from not knowing or not having any sort of experiences, almost being completely detached to energy, to being able to read energy, I don't know if that is actually possible, to be honest, because I think you would have to have something in you that you already know is picking up on stuff in that way. Yeah.
Can I just say how nice of that psychic lady in that story to just be like, hey, why don't you just talk to the next customer? Like, I love that. That's just so heartwarming.
No, it was really, really nice of her. Unfortunately, the relationship later didn't end so well because when I started science, then she got a bit funny with me. But no, it was really one of those defining moments in my career. It's like, I'm very grateful to her because she gave me that opportunity to figure myself out, I guess.
Yeah,
no, that crossed my mind too. When I was younger, I took bass lessons, and I took 4 bass lessons. I was on my 4th lesson, and the guy says, hey, I'm moving. Do you want to take over all my clients? And I'm just all like, this is my 4th lesson. You know, it's like, and so I had to go home and, like, because, I mean, I had the technique to show off, but I had no idea of musical theory. So I had to go home and for a week and study up on musical theory and just make sure I was one step ahead of all my students, you know.
Wait, you actually did it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
Confidence.
So, talking about the music, I would say that's almost like with the psychic as well. Like, if you're born with a talent for music, you're going to get into those classes, you're going to pick up immediately what you need to do, and you're still going to practice, I guess, but you're going to have that natural talent for it. So that almost like that gift, you know? And then someone who doesn't have that sort of talent for it, they're going to have to, I guess, practice and work a lot harder to get somewhat good. Where someone who's got that natural born talent for music is just going to go through it a lot faster and better. And I think that is sort of how I see the psychic thing. Like, you could potentially, you know, learn a couple of things of how to pick up on it, but you're not going to be the same as someone who's actually, like, born into it.
Right, born with the, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because as a musician, you know, you have I don't even view it as a talent, I view it as a perspective that you kind of look at things in a certain way, and therefore you're able to do this thing that other people could do, but it just comes a little easier for you because you're already looking at it in that way that helps. Yeah.
Yes. So
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of sense.
That's how I view it.
Thank you. Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
When you're looking at a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems, having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned, expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. This is probably a question that's been answered for a lot of people, and it's been answered. So a lot of people are called psychics and mediums, and I know that psychic is, well, I know that mediumship is communing with the dead, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then a psychic can be a lot of things. It can be like, I read your mind, I see the future. But even if I see the future, it's through reading you. Not read your mind necessarily, but in the loosest term. So not everybody that's a psychic is a medium. Not everybody is medium is a psychic, but a lot of people are psychic mediums. But is medium a subcategory of psychic?
Okay. So firstly, I'm going to quickly correct you. If you are a medium, you are a psychic. But if you're a psychic, you're not necessarily a medium. That is the distinction there. Because when we talk about mediumship, we're talking about going into a sort of like higher dimension of a higher energy frequency. Okay. Because that is sort of where you're, you know, they call it spirits, they call it souls, they call it the dead. I would say it's an energetic imprint that is left behind from someone that has left their physical body. okay? Purely because energy is something that you can't create it, you can't destroy it, it can only be transferred. And so when we look at that energetic frequency that's within us, it's just sort of like imprints onto the physical world, and that is what you connect with, and that is what you sort of read then and get the information from. And with that, if you can go to that frequency where you need to be able to do that, then you're automatically going to be on the same frequency where you can also connect to, which is a little bit lower than that, where you can see sort of the future situations of someone. And when we're talking psychic, we're talking specifically in the sense of like that predictability type of thing. And that is where you are looking at the person's energy body. And within that, you can see this is what they are busy creating for themselves through their choices, their actions, their words, their emotions. All of that sort of creates a ripple effect, if I can say, like a butterfly effect.
Kind of like remote viewing concept.
Yeah. So then you can see in that butterfly effect, okay, so this is playing out. And then with that, you can see also, it's almost like a spider's web. So there's like little circles that sort of come out from the person, and then it's like little lines that come through it. And with that, you get like crossroad thingies. You can see if you make this choice, that's going to play out. If you make this choice, that's going to play out, and this choice, that's going to play out. And so as a psychic, you can say to that person, listen, these are your options. This is how it's going to pan out with each option. Or there's something here that's manifesting, and unfortunately, it's already so far in the manifestation process, you can't actually change it. So you just kind of have to go through it and prepare for it. Or enjoy it if it's a nice thing, I guess, you know. But that is sort of the psychic element. It's sort of just reading that energy body and seeing, observing that butterfly effect or the ripple effect, and then being able to guide them through that in that sense. And that is actually the part. Growing up, I thought literally everyone could see their own ripples, you know. Funny thing is, I can't always see my own, which is very frustrating, but I can see that. I can't like, look at myself in a mirror and then see stuff. Like, that doesn't quite work like that. But I can look at others and have that objective sort of view of what's happening with them in that sense. And then, like mediumship, that is almost just going a little bit higher in your energy frequency and connecting with those almost imprints. That is in the physical, and getting sort of, I guess, messages or guidance, or it's mostly reassurance that come from these imprints in that sense. And it's also a bit of a, I say it's like a bit of a shock reaction to your system, like when you die or cross over, as people say, that leaves that imprint, because usually it's all about sort of being concerned about the people that are left behind, you know?
I noticed you say imprints and not, like, ghosts. Is that... Well, I mean, I think for a layperson, that's what's going to come up. Is this a situation where it's, like, there are not actually, like, disembodied souls on the planet wandering around, but it's more like just the effect they've left that you can kind of still communicate with? Or...
Okay. Yeah, so there's two things here. So when you're saying ghost, that term actually brings forward a lot of other different categories again. So ghost can also be what we call an entity. So that is sort of the larger part of your energy body that sort of stays on the third dimension and doesn't move up. So we got like the third dimension over here. And then when I talk about higher frequencies, I'm referring to your fourth frequency, the fourth dimension, and then we get the fifth dimension. Okay. So think of it like this. You've probably seen in movies when there are ghosts, it's almost like they're hovering. Okay. They're always like hovering around. And that is because the fourth dimension literally sits over here. This is where our fourth dimension starts. So when I look at spirit imprints or ghosts or entities, they always sort of start about here and they look like a hologram. They're like always moving like this. And that is because those energetic, the energetic pixels, they almost look like pixels. You know, like when something's pixelated?
Right.
Pixels, but the pixels are moving, almost like the energies at higher frequencies. So they're moving and they're round about here. So when I'm saying... spirit imprint, that is sort of the part of you that has sort of is available to us to communicate to. And then the larger part of you would be up in the higher frequencies. Then we have your ghosts, or also known as entities. That is the bigger part of your energy body that is just sort of stuck here. It hasn't moved up through the realms. Okay. And so when we get that, that is normally when we have to do work like spirit release or spirit clearing. And we actually have to show this energy body like, hey, you need to move up. Like, you can still have your imprint here that's communicating with your people, but you also need to be moving up and sort of disperse your energy, you know, in that way. So that's a little bit of a technical explanation. Okay. Like, think of it like a ladder. We have like step one is the third dimension, and then four, five, and kind of goes up, but that's sort of irrelevant when we talk about mediumship and psychicness. And then that part of you needs to go up through the realms, that the energy needs to be dispersed and transferred. And sometimes it gets stuck. And when it's stuck, we have a ghost or an entity.
That's interesting. I also want to chase down something unrelated you mentioned a little bit ago. You mentioned that you've met people who sort of had psychic experiences when they were kids, but then didn't for a really long time, then picked it up again. Do you think children are more like attuned or whatever? Is this a common thing?
Yeah, so mostly children up until the age two are generally very open, energetically speaking. So they're still very in touch with sort of that spirit realm or energetic world, in that sense. So they're still very in tune and very in touch with all of that. That's also sometimes you'll see babies and they'll have a mobile above them, but they're looking over here and they're fascinated with something over here. And even though there's nothing there, that's often they pick up on spirit. And then from about age two, the more language starts to develop within the child and the more the child is taught sort of rules and boundaries, the more they sort of lose themselves as well. And they're connectedness to the other world, the spirit world, energy world. And then that's when they sort of start to close off, generally speaking, from like 4, 5, 6, but 8, normally they've lost it. If the child is meant to be moving into the position where they're using these sort of gifts, spiritual gifts or psychic gifts, if you want to call it that, later in life, they'll sort of tend to keep it moving through life. And then the other thing that happens is they might have an experience when they're about 4, 5, 6, and it's something that shakes them up or gets them really scared, like seeing a spirit or something. And then they close up completely. And they close themselves up, and then that is when they don't have experiences again until much later, when they're like, oh, yeah, something happened, and I was really scared, but I remember it so distinctively, and I want to re-explore that. And then you can sort of open that up again.
You know, these ghosts or spirits or imprints, you know, so it makes me feel that a ghost, somebody who's here, can comment on what's currently going on, but maybe an imprint can only comment on what went on in their life until they became an imprint, because
so the way
they're no longer conscious.
Yes, so the way I experience this is like you sort of have that energetic imprint, but it is still attached to the larger whole of the soul. So let me maybe just explain the concept of the soul a little bit more, then that's going to make more sense. So you have your physical body, and a lot of people tend to think their energy body or their – I'm using spirit and soul interchangeably here and spirit is inside of them, when in fact, actually, it's a lot bigger than you. Okay, it's actually all around you. So that's where you'll get the term of, say, aura, energy body, is that sort of bubble around you in that sense. So that's your energy body. Then your spirit is even bigger than that. And there's only a small part of you that's incarnated on Earth. The rest is sort of still up there in the fourth and fifth dimension. Well, mostly the fifth dimension, actually. The fourth is like in the middle. Anyway, it's up in the fifth. So when you sort of cross over, you have that imprint that's here, but that imprint is still connected to the fifth dimension as well. And it's connected to the fourth and the third in that sense. So it almost comes down. And then what I do is I lift up. So I meet that imprint in the middle, which is why it's called the medium, because it's in the medium level. So that imprint... Yes.
Okay. I never heard the origin of the term. I don't.
Up and we meet in the middle of the medium, and that's sort of where that imprint is. But it's still connected to the higher parts of the self as well, right? And I feel like they tend to speak a lot more about their life as well, like parts that hasn't been resolved, almost like unfinished business Like, a lot of the information normally that comes through is about sort of trying to finish off things with people that I've left behind. And now and again, you'll get one that can comment on things that are going to happen in the future. My personal experience with that is it's not that popular. Maybe because, I don't know, it takes too much energy to connect up here and bring it through. That's where I'll just look at what is the person creating. It's much quicker.
I like a bed that's really firm.
I need something a little softer than that.
Rest easy. With the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, you can both adjust your comfort with your Sleep Number setting.
Can it really help me fall asleep faster?
Yes, by gently warming your feet.
Okay, but can it help keep us asleep?
It senses your movements and automatically adjusts to keep you effortlessly comfortable. Sleep Number, proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing on all smart beds. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Audrey Norton. We're talking about psychic mediumship. Again, if you want to find out more about her while we're talking, it's ADRINORTON.CO.ZA.
Normally, within a reading, we can sort out a lot of things. A lot of clarity can be brought to the table. There's some insights there. And then from then onwards, you know, people know what to do next and they can carry on again. And then sometimes I'll get people who say to me, okay, listen, I feel like I need a reading and I feel I need a crystal healing because I'm feeling like something isn't right within me, or I'm feeling overly emotional, or I'm very stressed, or I'm just not feeling well. And then I'm like, cool, let's do the reading, let's do the crystal healing, let's take it from there. Sometimes, obviously, with clearings and home situations, people know something is wrong, and then they would want you to come to the home and check it out and see if there's something going on. But it's literally, it varies from person to person. I literally get 50-50 of both. Like, some people are like, I really don't know what I need. And then some people are like, no, this is what I want. That's it. So, Right. Yeah.
Now, last time we talked about how in South Africa and Africa in general, Satanism could be a very taboo subject. What about psychic mediumship not connected to that? You know, is that something that they automatically make the association with? Because, like, there's a lot of churches here in America that if you say you're a psychic, people say you're possessed by the devil. And then there's other churches here that would say, oh, that's a gift from God. That's one of, you know, you have discernment. You know, what's the take in your area on those things?
Oh, it's about the same that you were explaining now. We have some people who would say it's a gift from God and it's amazing and you need to be using it to help people and sort of playing out that narrative. Then we have the others like, this is devil worshipping, you're possessed, you need exorcism, like, and you're getting it from the latest I actually got since sort of being on the radar in South Africa as a Satanist, is that I am speaking to demons. So that's quite interesting, because as a Satanist, I don't even believe in demons. As a psychic, I've seen a demon. So, it's very interesting. But I'm speaking to demons, apparently, and I'm possessed by the devil and all of that. But generally speaking, in South Africa currently, it is very much accepted sort of psychic work. Like, people are very open-minded about it. About 5 years ago, it was a different story, though. So we've come far in 5 years. And I'm sure even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was just looking at something in a library once, and it was related to witchcraft. And immediately it was like, you're a devil worshipper. Like, and tarot and numerology and all of that was devil worship and the work of the devil. So that's like 15 years ago. But we're getting somewhere where at this stage today, it's definitely a lot more accepted and it's met with a sense of intrigue. So when people do hear you're a psychic, they more want to, it's like, what do you see? What can you tell me? You know, God is like Antichrist.
Right. So, you know, I don't want to start it with you say, this is not combative, that you don't believe in demons. And when they say demons and you're all, I haven't seen a demon. A common question that I like to ask people, because this is probably my horror movie fandom, is we're talking about these multiple levels of existence, but are there entities that were never human, that are maybe malevolent or benevolent, floating around in these different ladder rungs? I think that's about as good as I can ask it.
Yeah, so what you do get is, since we're the third dimension, right, there's obviously a second and a first dimension as well. So those are energy forms that have not incarnated on Earth ever before.
Ooh, okay? I like this. This is creepy.
Yeah. So this is another thing that happens, though, is like we've spoken about sort of like Kara's mentioning the ghosts, and I was saying like I call them entities in that sense, like they lived on Earth, but they got stuck afterwards. They didn't get to cross over. And they sort of feed off a property of the feed of human energy, almost like a vampire type of thing, in order to keep them here.
Oh, so I like when that.
Yes. So
weren't you just making fun of me, Kara? Whatever. That's all right.
Yes, all right. I was, but my love of vampires cannot be surprised.
Sorry, it's not so fun to make you sick, though.
Well, it's fun for the vampire.
True, that's true. Energy forms coming in from, say, for instance, the first and the second dimension. So we've got our third dimension, second, first dimension, and they sort of over here. So the only time you're going to get an entity from here coming into the third dimension is when you as a person have an incredibly low energetic state and you have an aura leak. Okay, so aura leak again happens when your chakras have been blocked. That happens due to emotional situations or events in your life that create emotional upsetting situations. And so when we have an energy leak, and you're in the third dimension here, your energy becomes lower and lower and lower. So this is someone, again, severely depressed, suicidal, drug, alcohol, addiction. I'm talking like really down low energy, okay, with the aura leak. Then you have the potential for a first or second dimension energy form entity to latch to that person. So I guess I wouldn't call it a demon, because I think that is a very different thing. And you get demonolatrists, and they work with energy forms that they call demons, but I don't have experience with that, and I don't think...
I get that. I was just saying that maybe somebody else was interpreting these things.
Yeah. So I think demons is also a very different story, but there is definitely some energy forms that can latch, but I mean, it's really like 1% of the time that you're like hardly ever going to see something like that.
You mentioned earlier, though, that, you know, one sort of energy being can't really affect another one unless they let them. So how does that sort of work?
That happens in situations, like I said, you're severely depressed, there's addiction, there's a lot of things happening, and you're going through life sort of going like, I need help, anyone just help me. And most of the time situations would be like where you were thinking like, just anyone help me. Like, I just need help. I'll do anything. Just help me. And that process and in that energy state is used allowing it in.
Yeah, I'm understanding this like a kind of like I exist on the first and second and third planes, but kind of like autoimmune to the point where you're fighting yourself and therefore are susceptible to things that are down there.
100%. You're fighting yourself. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Crazy. And not crazy in a crazy way. In a good way, you know.
We're fascinated by this.
Right, I am. I absolutely love this stuff. Unfortunately, we're coming up here on the end. And if people want to find out more about you, again, go to audreynorton.co.za. And Audrey, again, apparently I'm the only one that didn't know this, is spelled A-D-R-I-N-O-R-T-O-N. But I feel like Trump, who's just all like, some people didn't know that Abraham Lincoln was a Republican. Everybody knew that, man. It was just you. Apparently, that's me with Audrey. But is there any other place where people should look for you and find you if they want to find out more about you? I know you got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I think the website that you've mentioned is the best place. From there, there's links to my YouTube, Facebook, and all of that. I would say the website is the first stop.
All right. Well, you know, thank you very much for being on here. And it really, you gave a much more concise and well-explained idea of what psychic mediumship is than we've really ever had before.
Cool. You know, it gets a little squishy sometimes. So it's nice to have some answers.
Right. Normally I start them with, you may not have the answer to this, but this time I actually felt like I could just straight up ask the question and possibly get the answer, you know. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And thank you for being on the show. Again, that's adrinorton.co.za. Go ahead and check her out. You've been listening to Audrey Norton right here on Radio Wingsland.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.